Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, let me jump on in here. Once a week we do this thing. We start off on the Wednesdays here in the Camel up front, but then by the end of the show, we're jumping into a thing we call the Grand Council. So I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio. We ping each other with questions of the day, see where the chips fall. So let me just call the roll, see if we have a quorum for Grand Council. Looking northward to 770 AM, 92.5 FM, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Got a gig on Yellowhammer News. Also, by the way, does a TV thing. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh!
You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right. Looking southward, all the way down to the Gulf of America. Editor-in-chief of 1819 News, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. We're glad of it. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, Jeff Poor, you first. What do you got?
We've been seeing a lot of, public figures or people in public places have this impulse to go out and say derogatory things about Charlie Kirk, and they're paying a price. How long will this rule be in place?
You know what? The rule about Charlie Kirk or the rule about actual decorum and decency and common sense?
The rule about Charlie Kirk. I mean, is there ever a point where when people do this, it'll just be, we'll just shrug it off?
You know, personally, I don't think you should ever shrug off the senseless murder of an innocent person who did nothing except espouse his beliefs about something. Will there come a time when it's less sensitive? Certainly. But now's not the time. And what blows my mind is the inability of some people to figure that out. I mean, how hard is it to see that in the mere days after his death, you don't crow about it? You know what? Keep your opinions to yourself. If you lack that level of decency, try to at least find the decorum. Just keep your mouth shut, Dale.
Yeah, I don't think there will ever come a time when we'll just be like, it's fine that you were trashing a father of two who was gunned down in front of his wife and kids for speaking his mind and solely that reason. Everything they're doing is justifying his murder. I don't care what they say about it. That's all it's about. They know it. We all know it. And we're still kind of doing this dance in the mainstream media where they're like, well, they're just voicing their opinions. No, they're not. And all we have to do is ask this. If Ilhan Omar died tomorrow and people on the right were saying, well, you know, she married her brother and you know, she's been kind of an enemy of the United States for quite some time. She's a bad person. And you know what? I'm not saying she deserved it, but good shot. I mean, if that's how people were behaving, they'd get canceled too. And to pretend that people don't understand that is so embarrassing I said this before and I'll say it again. You may get those four likes on Facebook, but everyone on your friend page who doesn't like that thinks less of you now. Good job, stupid.
Yeah, and I would say too, it goes way beyond just being tone deaf. It's really about having a lack of decency. It's about having zero care or concern. It's the narcissistic view that what you said was so important that it mattered not how other people would feel when they heard it. If you're going to do something like this, at least don't do it in a place where the grieving have to put up with your crap. I'll tell you what, I'll segue off of that, though. Well, Jeff, your own question. You got a thought on that? Go ahead and conclude.
No, I don't, because I'm with you guys on this. It's just inappropriate, and you should use better judgment. I do wonder, though, the firings, when will it become a non-fireable offense or something like that? But people are going to do it anyway. We're going to be dealing with this for a while.
I think so.
Can I just piggyback on that since you're going to change subjects real quick?
I wasn't changing the subject, but go ahead. You can take it. What do you got?
You're the lawyer here. I mean, you're a politician and a lawyer. You have no good redeeming qualities. Can you tell me the thing about how a college or school can fire someone? We get a lot of this with tenure and all this other stuff for doing these terrible things.
Well, yeah. They have a code of conduct, first of all, and Auburn does. Like, for instance, Auburn. Auburn fired Drag Queen Boy. Today. That was going to be part of my question. But Auburn fired Drag Queen Boy, and there's a code of conduct that employees are required to follow. There's also the idea that You may have tenure, but it does not give you carte blanche to do such things that would embarrass or dishonor the university that pays your paycheck. And then on top of that, you have a lot of at-will employees. An at-will employee right. under the law just technically means you can be fired at will for cause or no cause is what the law says. And so if you are representing, let's like for instance, if you work with kids and yet you have this complete insensitivity to the idea of murder being a bad thing and you don't crow about murder. There was an SRO, a school resource officer in Pennsylvania, I believe, who lost her job as a law enforcement officer. She was guarding kids and yet crowing about the murder. She's a police officer crowing about the murder. She lost her job. So part of this becomes purely legal, and the other part becomes just a matter of you represent our organization to some degree, and we cannot be affiliated with you, and we don't trust your judgment anymore, so we have to let you go before you wind up bringing a lawsuit on us. Jeff, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I was going to say, right to work state, I mean, the employment yep. laws are pretty clear that you can't do this. So I think fireable offense is kind of in the eyes of the beholder, right?
Absolutely. But you know what's going to wind up happening? Some of these that have tenure are members of the teachers union. I guarantee they'll have an AEA paid lawyer sometime soon helping them try well, to get their job.
I want you to, I mean, I know I already went, but the AEA coming in and giving these guys a legal defense, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. That's what they're contractually obligated to do, right?
I don't have a problem with it, but I still look at it and go, it's just unseemly. You look at it and go, wow.
What are they supposed to do, though? Not give them the defense they're entitled to?
No, I didn't say that at all. What I'm saying, though, is it's still rank. We can talk about it. The fact is AEA lawyers typically defend really, really, really bad teachers who just want to keep their jobs because they can't get a job anywhere else. And so to defend that kind of stuff is the thing that you look at and go, well, that's the lowest of the low, lawyer. That's all there is. Dale, weigh in on it, man.
I just wanted to know because I keep getting this question, you know, about how this behavior it works under contracts and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. If you say something completely insane that brings discredit upon your institution, they should run you out. I mean, it's that simple. I just can't believe these people believe they're untouchable like this. I just don't get it.
Well, let me shift gears slightly because the story you guys had on 1819 today, Jeff, was actually an extension of an earlier story. So we have drag queen boy that was fired at Auburn, but he was also drag queen boy who had a teaching job at a middle school, Drake Middle School. And you guys brought out in the last year or so that he had a podcast where he was talking about how he loved using his position as a teacher in a middle school to get his LGBTQ lifestyle in front of kids. And y'all brought that out. He had to resign from a middle school, and yet Auburn hired him. And now Auburn's had to fire him. What was Auburn thinking when they hired him? Were we in the DEI, the height of DEI at that point, and they needed a virtue signal, or what are you thinking?
They hired him as, like, he's working at the school library as, like, a librarian assistant or something. And I don't know, like, he wasn't teaching kids. Still unseemly and kind of a weird, explain this on your resume about how this employment was terminated. They pick him up, but they hired him anyway. He knew somebody who knew somebody. But that's my understanding, or at least that's Auburn's side of the story.
Well, it didn't pay off well in the end, did it? Dale, your thoughts. How did this come to be that you can resign because you were not trusted with kids at a middle school and go to work at the university?
Oh, just a fellow traveler doing a make good. I mean, that's all that is. I mean, that's all it is. It's just taking care of their own. And, you know, he's a degenerate freak. They're degenerate freaks. Why not give him a job? I mean, we need more of this. He got treated poorly by the school system because they didn't want him around kids. So we'll just pay him and have him come here to the college because he got done wrong.
Well, I just asked the Gator fan what he thought about an Auburn hiring, but I guess I got the full load on that one.
I like the Hugh Freeze.
Okay. All right, we're taking a break. That's round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. Coming back round two, we will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so we're going back to round two, the Grand Council, bringing in my brethren in talk radio, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Round two, first question, Jeff Poor, what you got?
This was just brought to my attention by one of my employees at 1819. ACLU is weighing in on the Charlie Kirk situation with a headline here. You guys will love this, that attacks on the First Amendment are not welcome in Alabama, and all these people who are talking, I guess, about Charlie Kirk in the wake of his death are violating First Amendment protections. I would disagree, but the ACLU, I think they're trying to have it both ways here. I recall the ACLU of Alabama really coming after us during the Bubba Coppola episode 2 years ago.
Yeah, so the ACLU, never one known for going agenda-free on their items. First Amendment does not necessarily mean you get to say anything you want to. You know, there's the old adage of you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can't incite violence. You can't call for someone's death. You can't conspire with others to create mayhem and violence. So there's that. But the other piece of this is it does not mean that you can't be fired at will. If we're a right-to-work state and your employer is embarrassed by your behavior, if your employer feels like you are bringing dishonor, if you sign a code of conduct, which some employees did, like at Auburn, if you sign a code of conduct and you agree to certain behavior and then you violate that, you know up front, your employee handbook says you're probably going to get terminated. And if they have, here's the other thing too, these employees oftentimes have what's called an administrative review process. They're allowed to appeal within, it's not lawsuit level yet. I suspect most of these terminations will be upheld. Dale?
Yeah, I don't know why they feel the need to come to their defense. I guess it's some sort of rhetorical argument that they want to make about free speech and all this other stuff. Plus, they don't care. So there's that part of it. They don't actually care about this. They just want to stand up and punch conservatives in the eye like they have been doing for years. And anyone that gives these people money is a chump.
It's no telling how much money the ACLU has in its coffers from George Soros and all the others. Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
I agree. And then this is it. I mean, you could say whatever you want, but doesn't mean there's no consequences, right?
That's right.
The whole point of the First Amendment. Sure, go out and exercise. But if Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, and Jeff Poor go and say something, say something on our radio show that's our employer finds objectionable, we're fair game. But I guess the question would be this, Senator, now if the government's firing you for doing this, I mean, does that dabble in the free speech? Do they have a different argument than you and I and Dale would if, say, the state of Alabama fires somebody for what they said?
Yes and no. I mean, so bottom line is, government action is the one you have to watch the most because the government should not bring the heavy hand of government in where it's not warranted. But again, if, like I said, in this particular case, tenure is not a carte blanche to do whatever you want to do. If you signed a code of conduct, if there are things that are expected of you and you violate that, you can still face the repercussions for your own behavior. And if we have a society where there is zero measure of, punishment or consequences for your behavior, all we got is anarchy. So truth be told, some of these folks have to own up to it and say, yeah, I said it and I stand by what I said and I'm willing to lose my job for it. Like the young lady who was a conservative, who was a newscaster up in, I think, Kansas City, she actually said on her broadcast how much she worked for Charlie Kirk. She loved him and she was terminated. And she was going to be terminated. She actually resigned. She knew, she took the consequences and she stepped away. Libs don't often work that way, but that's the truth. Any thoughts, Dale? Last closing comments there on that one?
No, I think that's right. I think they can do whatever they want at this point. And if we got fired, nobody would complain about free speech for us. So I think the government employees think they have a special level of protection. And maybe it's true to some degree, but I don't know how true it is.
In fact, who else in the world has tenure? Anybody else in the world have tenure? The only thing I've ever heard of that's close to tenure is a contract employee. But that's not the same thing. Tenure is like saying you get to stay no matter what. And that's just not good for anybody. All right, next question. Dale, real quick, what you got?
All right, so let's move, I guess we could say in Alabama and Tennessee for this one. You have the governor, Bill Lee, inviting in the National Guard to go to Memphis.
Yeah.
We have Kay Ivey saying, no, we don't need it here in Alabama. But she also basically acknowledged something we all knew and we've talked about before, That is that the government is working with Birmingham to bring down some of their crime. They said no in Tennessee for a long time, too, before they finally said, okay, fine, yes, we'll allow this to be the proof of concept. How strong is KIV on this?
I have not heard KIV say don't send them. All I heard is that there's no indications they are at this point. Have you heard anything, Jeff? Has KIV said no, don't send them?
So we don't
need
them.
That's what I heard. I heard she's dismissed the possibility. No, not interested. No, we're not going to do that.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, so the bottom line is Bill Lee, Marsha Blackburn, and Bill Hagerty all met with Patel, Cash Patel, and with Pam Bondi, and gave them the stats on Memphis, and apparently requested them to come in. So good on them for doing it. I think that Memphis needs it. I mean, I saw the top 50 murder capitals of the world recently, and Memphis is well up there on the list in the world. So, good Lord, please fix Memphis. But I want to visit Graceland sometime, right? But I think in this case, we're not there right now in Alabama, but Birmingham had better toe the line because, you know, it was just last year that the state legislature was floating a bill that would allow them to replace the police chief because they're doing such a horrible job of policing. So sooner or later, something's going to have to be dealt with, and the model right now is about to be Memphis. So we'll see. Last question real quick. I'll just ask you this real quick. I did a segment earlier in the show I do called Adventures in Woke World. I got to ask both of you. Would you eat lab-grown meat? If it was grown in a Petri dish, would you put it on a burger, Jeff?
I have, but I'm just not interested in it. I mean, I'm just not something I want to regularly do. I'll try it once, but no, it's just something.
Did it look like phlegm on a plate? I mean, what was it?
No, it just tasted like it. You've had all these lab-grown meats that aren't, I mean, they're plant-based proteins or whatever. I assume that's what you're talking about.
Nah, we're talking about Petri dish meat, like, grown in a lab where they actually, like, it's like...
Well, what's it grown out of, I guess, would be...
It's cloning meat.
That would be the deal-breaker, depending what it was grown... It had to be grown out of something, right?
Dale would eat it. Wouldn't you, Dale? You'd eat it.
I mean, I will eventually. I mean, we may not be there yet, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if they can get it to a point where it actually tastes like we want it to taste. And,
I think it's how the zombie apocalypse starts. That's my theory. All right. Appreciate you both. Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me, the Grand Council, every Wednesday, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.